Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spandana Spurti Financial Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena, MD and CEO of Spandana Spurti Financial Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good evening to all of you. Thank you for taking time out to attend our call. This is the fifth result which we are presenting post the management transition. Our journey in Spandana has been professionally exciting and challenging. Over the past four quarters, we've got very good support, advice, and suggestions from all the stakeholders, including you all. We, as a management team, are indeed extremely thankful and grateful for that. Ever since taking over, I have been highlighting the need to strengthen the company at the senior and middle management levels in the areas of governance, risk management, control, compliance, audit, distribution, and technology. We had identified 13 key positions at CXO and CXO minus one, which had to be filled when we started our journey. As we speak, I'm happy to inform that the positions have been filled. All the team members have taken charge and have been working diligently towards the Vision 2025 that we had articulated on the 11th of July, 2022. The people priority, hence, has been successfully completed. The wisdom and experience of the team will take the company forward. Now, to present the results of quarter four of financial year 2023. The challenge during the year for all of us was to work on multiple priorities of business. That is people, disbursement, portfolio quality, distribution, process, customer proposition, and technology. We have made progress in each of the areas. This is a journey, and we will continue the march towards the goal. Now, to present the financial results of quarter four. The results were uploaded about a couple of hours back. I'm sure you would have had the opportunity to go through it. Nevertheless, I'll just give a very high-level summary. On the disbursement side, we disbursed during the quarter 3,054 crores, which was a growth of about 30% over the previous quarter. Disbursement for the year was 8,125 crores, which was 141% higher than 3,373 crores, which was disbursed in the last financial year, FY 2022. The numbers have to be looked at in context, and there's a base effect in place, so 141% has to be looked at in that context. On the AUM side, we ended the year at an AUM of 8,511 crores, an all-time high for Spandana. This was a growth of 24.2% over the previous quarter and 29% growth over 6,581 crores that was reported for March 2022, which was last year. We've been highlighting ever since we presented the Vision 2025, that our growth will be led by customer acquisition. So happy to report that in the quarter, our customer acquisition was 4.3 lakh new customers, which was a 95% growth over the previous quarter. Overall, for the year, we have acquired 8.8 lakh new customers, which is a growth of 166% over 3.3 lakh new customers acquired in the previous year. Once again, the similar caveat applies on the 166%. A very key element of the company that all of us run is the borrowing side. The quarter has seen a total borrowing of 2,402 crores, which is up 12% from the previous quarter. During the year, we borrowed in total about 5,775 crore from our lenders, which is up 208% over the previous year of 1,875 crores. Our marginal cost of borrowing was 12.55%. We added 8 new lenders during the quarter, thus taking our total lender relationship base to 48. We opened our account with a public sector bank with a DA transaction of 500 crores during the quarter. Our focus for this year on the borrowing side will be threefold. Continue to reach out to like-minded lenders who are still not associated with us. Increase the relationship depth with the existing lenders, and most importantly, work on decreasing the costs for incremental borrowings. On the write-backs, all of you are aware that we had written off about 700 crores in the quarter one of last financial year. So this question keeps on getting asked to us during the year. During the year, we made a total recovery of about 70 crores from the write-offs and the ARC pool. We will continue to reach out to our borrowers and educate them on the benefits of repayment of their outstanding dues. This is a journey and we'll keep moving on this. On the portfolio quality, which is one of the key elements of any lending business, our portfolio quality continues to improve over the quarters. The standard, which is the current book, is at 96.6%, an improvement of upwards of 4.5% over the previous quarter, and a marked improvement from 68.4%, which it was in Q4 of last financial year. So our journey has been 68.4% to 96.6%. We are not done yet, and you know, we are still, you know, pushing it for a higher limit and higher levels. The 1 to 90 bucket, I will repeat, the 1 to 90 bucket is 1.5% now in totality. This was 2.6% in the previous quarter. Of the 1 to 90 book, about 40% is in 1 to 30 bucket. You know, so this is the one installment outstanding. The old book, all of you remember when we came, when we presented the first result, we had compartmentalized the book into a pre-April 21 sourcing and post. So the old book is what I'm referring to, is now only 2%. Thus practically ensuring that this was the COVID sourcing, so the 2% is what is left of it, practically ensuring that the slightly stressed book sourced during COVID times has run off now. This book constitutes about 45% of our GNPA. This is just to give you a context. The GNPA end of quarter four now is 2.07%, and the NNPA is 0.64%. on the back of improved quality and higher provisioning, which I'll cover in a bit. A very important element of looking at how the portfolio is behaving is to see the flows. Our flows over the quarters have improved decently. Our flows into SMA-0 have moderated to 0.58%. In absolute terms, about 47 crores in Q4 FY23, which is this quarter, as against 8.3% in the last year, which is the Q4 of FY22. So the journey, which was a total in absolute terms of 509 crores. So the journey has been from 8.3% to 0.58% over the past four quarters. On the collection efficiency, the gross collection efficiency for the quarter has been stable at around 102.45%. The net collection efficiency, and this is what we track as an organization, and these collection efficiencies are not caveated. You know, it's very important for all of us to know. So that we are presenting as is. The net collection efficiency for the period was 97.57%. which is 3.05% up from Q3, which is the previous quarter, thus reinforcing the statement made earlier on improving portfolio quality. More and more customers are paying on time, which is a healthy sign. This is a factor of the general macroeconomic environment and the way it is evolving, plus the efforts put on ground by the teams. on financials for quarter four, I forgot an important point, which was the PCR. So this quarter, we've taken our PCR at 70%. We were 55%, as you would know. The last quarter when we presented, we were at 55%. We had taken the 50%, which was the PCR in Q2 to a 55 in Q3. From a 55, we've taken it up to 70% on the unsecured portfolio. All of you are aware, we have a book on the secured side as well. It is a small book, but nevertheless, you know, the provisioning criteria are slightly different, and hence at a consolidated level, our PCR is at 69.1. So, be it the disbursement story, be it the flows, be it the collection efficiency, be it the member acquisition, be it the provisioning, we've tried to address each of these issues, which would normally anyone would, you know, when you run a NBFC or you are into a lending business. Coming back to the financials, in continuation of a narrative over the quarters of increasing provisions when required, I've already covered this. Our NNPA, while I did give, the high level number, NNPA, because of the provisioning, has hence reduced to 0.64%. The numbers for the previous quarter was 2.52%. The GNPA is 2.07% against a 5.31%, which was there in the Q3 of the financial year. Our normalized yield on the portfolio has improved to 22.8% from 21.2% in quarter three. Normalized NIM has improved to 13.86%. That is up 38 basis points over last quarter. The reason why I'm repeating the normalized is there are transactions which were done like DA, etc. We've tried to normalize it and not include it while calculating the various ratios so that all of us are clear in terms of, you know, what is a steady state number that we are looking at. Total income for the quarter increased 42% to 533 crores versus 375 crores in quarter three. Net interest income was up 51% to 384 crores for the quarter versus 254 crores in quarter three. PPOP, which is an important metric to track, for the quarter was 261 crores. Up 85% over 141 crores reported for previous quarter. Profit before tax for the quarter was 139 crores. After tax was 106 crores, which is an increase of about 48%. Financials for FY23, which is the full year. The total income from operations during the year was 1,477 crores, which was almost flat compared to the previous year of 1,480 crores. Given the 702 crores write-off that was taken in Q1 of FY23, and all of us are aware that, you know, Q1 was when we had done that write-off, the total income for the year was muted. The annual PAT for the year hence is 12 crores. This is a decrease of 82% over the previous year. However, as I said in the previous point, you know, I'm repeating, this was more to do with the one-time write-off that we took of 702 crores. The quarter four numbers, we've gone into the details. To summarize, ladies and gentlemen, the year FY23 or financial year 23 has been an enriching period for the new management. We presented the Vision 2025 document on the 11th of July, where we had articulated the path for the company for the next 3 years. Over the year FY23, we've taken all the steps to ensure we lay strong foundation and then progress on the key fundamental blocks. During the quarter three earnings call, I had informed that we are now stepping up expansion of business as most of the building blocks were in place. Happy to announce now that during the quarter, and if you remember, you know, I had said that we are planning to open about 100 branches. We had preponed the growth story from a Q1 of FY24 to a Q4 of FY23. So happy to announce now that during the quarter, we have opened about 112 branches. Our target now is to have about 1,500 operational branches by the end of this year. Although, if you recall, in our Vision 25, we had very clearly said that by end of FY25, we'll have 1,500 branches. But we will open all those branches this year so that the next year we have a runway of the full 12 months for the 1500 branches to perform. We plan to end the next year, which is FY24, with an AUM of about 11,500 crores, which will once again be slightly backloaded because there are a few agendas that we have to do in quarter one and quarter two. Either which way, quarter one and quarter two, we paced the innings the last time around and we kind of delivered. There are things that need to be done, distribution initiatives, etc., to be run, which we will in this quarter and the next. JLG, and this is very, very critical, JLG is the mainstay of our model and we are taking steps to ensure that we drive the execution of the model in an effective manner. We've already relaunched the home improvement stroke lab business. During the year, we will be launching the Nano Enterprise or the bottom of the pyramid MSME loan product as well. FY24, ladies and gentlemen, is all about optimization and bringing in efficiencies in our operations. The building blocks were laid last year. FY24 will be about refinement and continuous improvement. Our focus on people, which is both retention and acquisition, will continue. Focusing on their benefits, welfare, upskilling, and well-being was and will remain the core of our approach. The opportunities for growth that microfinance provides has us quite optimistic about the future of our company. Our endeavor is to be a technology-led microfinancier delivering loans that fulfill aspirations of an emerging rural India. FY23 marks the beginning of this growth pivot and there is more to follow. Lastly, I thank all the stakeholders of Spandana, the board, our lenders and our colleagues in Spandana who pulled in their energies during the year. A special note of thanks to all the branch staff, our loan officers, branch managers and the entire field staff and the head office staff who slogged hard to deliver the results as we envisaged at the beginning of the year. Thank you very much to all of you on the call. You've been a constant source of encouragement by giving us positive advice, feedback and of course support during the year. We look forward to receiving similar encouragement in future. With this, I now end the update. We have the entire management team, all the 13 people that I spoke about in the beginning of the commentary, with us and we are ready to take questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening and congratulations to you and the entire team for a great quarter. So my first question was related to your new product launches. So what is the thought process with respect to the kind of mix that you see in FY24 end or in FY25 with respect to, say, the others, like except for JLG-based lending that we do?
So, Shripal, thank you very much for that question. If you go back to our Vision 2025 document, we had articulated a total 18,000 crore AUM for our company by end of FY25, of which the mix would be JLG 15,000 crores and about 2,000 to 3,000 crores is what we had indicated on the two businesses. One is the loan against property and the second one was the Nano MSME enterprise business that I spoke about. The first one is obviously a secured line which should be in the range of about 1500 to 1700 crores. The Nano MSME, it is an unsecured loan, non-JLG business. It will be in the range of about similar, about 1500, 1600 to about 1800 crores. So that's the mix that we are looking at. We have, as we speak, we've launched the LAP, the new LAP business, as I may say, on a completely new LMS and LOS. We were waiting for the entire system to kind of be tested fully. So all of that is done now. So you will start seeing the numbers from now. As I said, we will be very cautious in the first two quarters on the LAP business, and in parallel, end of quarter two or beginning of quarter three, we'll launch the MSME business. This is apart from JLG and for the benefit of everyone, the two businesses, I mean the LAP business and the Nano MSME business, will is completely separate from the JLG. People are separate, branches are separate, hierarchy is different, and this is led by a completely, different chief business officer. That is how we have to kind of.
But sir, the operations from the it would be from the same branch, right? With respect to operations, or do they have a separate branch network also?
No. So that's exactly what I said. You know, separate branch, separate geography, separate people, separate business, separate credit. Everything is separate. We don't want to mix up the two. There's no question of fungibility. We are absolutely clear that, you know, JLG in its purest form of implementation has to be delivered as a model to the industry and to the company. And that is why we will not kind of build any bridge between the two.
Got it. So secondly, the question was with respect to new customer acquisition. So commendable job during the quarter. Wanted to understand what is the first cycle and second cycle disbursement ticket size that we usually have as a strategy.
So the first cycle, so two answers to your question, and you know, good that you asked, Shripal. This whole debate about ticket size, in my view, has to be looked at in a slight with a different colored lens. What one should look at is the average indebtedness at a customer level rather than this ticket size. You know, I can do a ticket size of 40,000 and not give a loan to the customer for 2 years, vis-a-vis offering a ticket size of 20,000 and give a loan once in 6 months. You know, so average indebtedness level is what we track, and our indebtedness level is roughly about 90-95% of the industry. We are at about 31,000-32,000 type of number at a customer level. Now, to your specific answer to the question that you asked, the customers that we are onboarding in the weekly model, our ticket size is 35,000. And that is where, so we muted the ticket sizes typically in a existing branch which has been running for some time. We as an organization were offering 42,000 as a ticket size for the first loan. But in the new branches that we have started, we are offering a 35,000, and slowly we will kind of spread this around. So as a philosophy and direction, we will slide downwards on the ticket sizes. We are more bullish about getting more customers rather than playing the dollar game.
So sir, what is the indebtedness that we are comfortable with at the customer level?
We would be comfortable with a sub 90% of the industry, which is, we are currently at about 32,000. Anywhere with an inflationary rate of about 6-7%, a 32,000 to 35,000 is a good enough number. And it will by design, it will come down, Shripal, because we are opening in the 7 states, you know, that we had, clearly identified where we are going to grow. We will be low on ticket sizes. So, you know, so either way, it's going to come down. So we are comfortable to answer your question between 32 to 34 and a half, you know. So at every given point in time, we are very watchful of the ticket size and we'll continue to monitor it.
Got it, sir. So last question with respect to the pricing. So what is the rate range that, what is the yield range that we have for our customers currently?
So the yield for, just a sec. So we have a normalized yield of 22.8%.
So presently it is 22.8% in terms of the yield, Shripal. However, if you would have recalled, we have changed to 25% as our interest rate starting October. We charge 25% interest rate plus 1% as processing fee. That's the product pricing. As we have a refresh in terms of the loan cycle, the yield should start getting closer to that number. So there has been an improvement in the last quarter. You will continue to see this improvement as the new loans kind of, you know, become higher in terms of percentage on the balance sheet.
So Shripal, I don't know if you got the chance to read the presentation. Slide number 13 has both the yield and the NIMS, clearly articulated. What I said in my commentary, I'm just repeating. We've normalized the yield to take out the one-time BIP, spikes. So that, you know, it's a reasonable and a balanced, calibrated approach. We are comfortable in the range that we are operating. And as Ashish mentioned, as the portfolio shifts more towards the recency, because these are all short tenor loans, you know, you will see the yields going up by virtue of the, you know, the change in the framework and design of the portfolio, which is moving towards a higher interest rate.
Right. I just wanted to understand that part only, the yield that we are charging to our customers. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much and good luck for the next quarter, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Shripal.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yeah, Renish.
Good evening, Renish.
Yeah, Renish, we can hear you.
Yeah, hi. Sir, congrats on a good set of numbers. So, just two questions. So, one is on the our ECL methodology. So, we have mentioned that we have changed some, I think, ECL policy, which has sort of led to this higher PCR in this quarter. So, so essentially, what we have changed in ECL model?
Hi, Renish. This is Ashish this side. Basically, we have looked at the model a little differently. We wanted to increase the PCR in any case. So, and this is continuing from the thought process or the approach which we laid out in the last quarter. If you recall, we have moved from 50 to 55 last quarter. This quarter, again, we have tweaked the model to ensure that, you know, 70% kind of coverage is there. So we have increased the PDs as well as the flow, the LGD consideration in the model itself. Whereby the 70% has, you know, started playing out on the portfolio.
Got it. So, of course, I mean, going into
sorry to interrupt. The line for you was going bad in between. If you could please repeat your question, it was not audible.
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. If we go by the current ECL methodology, what should be the credit cost? Because, you know, we have said the guidance at that time, your ECL methodology would have been different versus now. So, any comment on that?
Yeah, sure. Renish, we have talked about, and again, going back to what we have said, in a BAU, we have budgeted for a 2% kind of a credit cost.
Okay.
However, you know, if I have to, you know, look at the flows from the new book, the flows would be in the range of 1.2 to 1.3% only, including the delinquent portfolio. So, this 2% is a very well... sufficient in my mind from a credit cost standpoint.
It's a cushioned number, Renish, but as a prudent financier, it is appropriate that we kind of take this position because it's early days yet and it's always good to kind of measure yourself maybe after three or four quarters. So after four quarters, we'll relook at this 2% assumption, but as of now, we'll go by it.
Got it. And the change in ECL methodology will not impact our steady-state credit cost of 2% is what I wanted to reconfirm.
Yeah, yeah. So the ECL methodology will deal with the, anyways, the flows. I think what we have, the team has been done a splendid job on is, you know, curtailing the flows itself, Renish.
Mm.
And that is right. What we're focusing on. I think with that playing out, ECL should not be a challenge in terms of, you know, the credit cost.
Got it. And my next question is to Shalabh. So, sir, if you look at the total outstanding borrower base, you know, we sort of remained flat at around 2.26 million. And when we arrive at the ticket size, it actually up by 23% sequentially from 30,000 to 37,000 this quarter. Of course, I mean, this is adjusted, not adjusted for the write-off borrower. But practically, if we look at the current borrower base, you know, the outstanding AUM per borrower is at 37.5. So how one should read this data? I mean, can you just explain what we are missing here?
So, this was a one-time impact, Renish, and while it is good to kind of monitor and keep the eyes on the ball every quarter, I am giving directionally a view on what will the position be end of FY25. When we take a position, and if you go back to the commentary that I made when we began our stint, I had said that we will look at reducing the ticket sizes, which is what we've already started doing in the weekly branches that we've started. We have about 100 of them now. Over a period of time, we will start getting these down. what is my comfort on an indebtedness level, I gave the number 32 to 35. That is what it is going to be. Nothing wrong in kind of evaluating at this point in time what is the number, but then you have to normalize it over 3-4 quarters. You will see the number that I have quoted. We are comfortable not playing the ticket size game. We are comfortable in playing the customer acquisition game. The 2.2 million is post the write-offs that we've taken. I mean, the 700 crores was about 2.85 lakh customers that we wrote off. And this quarter, another 2.4, 2.5 that we've written off. So if we add all of that, it comes to some 2.8 million. But not. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is directionally, this is where we are going. 4 quarters back, we directionally told you which way we will go. Another, we have 8 quarters to go. But you will start seeing the downward slide starting third quarter, fourth quarter. Because see, we run an enterprise where a customer is used to a particular, way of how the company behaves in terms of the ticket sizes. We have to calibrate this whole thing overnight. We can't really, and hence the 35,000 on the first loan, we started in branches which were absolutely new, So somebody who is used to a particular level, you can't really crash that level. So we're just moderating it so as to not, give any knee-jerk reaction. But directionally, that is how we are going to play. That is how the game is going to be played.
Got it. So maybe, in other words, this outstanding per borrower at current level is sort of picked out at least in near term.
No, 100%. That is what we are going to do, and that is what we are going to do. So directionally, we had a job to do, which we did. Obviously, we have to take, we didn't want to do anything which was knee-jerk. We are moderating this whole thing. I'm repeating what I said, but we are moderating it. The last 4 quarters, we calibrated multiple things, not just this. And, it has kind of given us the results. You need a customer buy-in. You need an employee buy-in for the kind of initiatives that I've been talking about. And that is what I think we'll be kind of pursuing.
Got it, sir. This is very helpful, sir. Thank you. And best of luck, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Oberoi from Yes Securities. Before you go ahead, sir, I would like to remind all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Mr. Oberoi, you may please proceed.
Sure. Hi, good evening. Congrats on very strong performance. So, sir, first question is on the ECL coverage on the current portfolio. That has gone up in percentage terms. So what is the thought process, behind that? And also, sir, related question is on building a counter-cyclical buffer, because when you look at the required credit cost in the coming quarters, so that credit cost, if you go by the flows from the current bucket right now, which are negligible or marginal, and even when you look at the stage 2 and stage 3 buckets, which have significantly come down and significantly provided for, then the required credit cost going into FY24 will be much lower. So what is the overall view on building a counter-cyclical buffer?
So I think your question one and question two are interlinked. I mean, the thought process is to have some kind of a buffer. Increasing the provisioning on the current is an effort address that conservatism in the entire provisioning. That is how we have ensured that higher provisioning even on the current bucket is maintained. If the flows and the performance continues to be in line with what we are seeing, probably we may look at reducing this percentages that we are holding on the current portfolio. But as of now, I think we feel very comfortable with this kind of levels of the percentages being maintained.
Yeah, so when you guide for a 2% credit cost, Ashish, that seems to be having some more conservatism being built in, given the current portfolio construct and given the current flow rates.
Yes, the point we are trying to drive here is 2% is what is budgeted. However, if you have to go by the current numbers, it should be stabilizing around 1.2-1.3% around, right? So but 2% should be kept, because there are always pockets in microfinance where in a particular period or in a particular geography, there may be elevated credit costs in a short term, which you need to address. But over a long term, I think we believe that 2% is sufficiently conservative, and we should be doing something below 1.5 for sure.
Either way, I will repeat what I said. We are comfortable with this. We'll continue with this because we don't know what we don't know. So another 4 quarters, 6 quarters, you know, there is a lot of, you know, fluidity in the macroeconomic environment. Either which way, as Ashish mentioned, you know, the specific pockets, you never know. It's always good to err on the right side, you know. So that's what we'll continue to do, and then we'll evaluate or relook at our position maybe 4 quarters from now.
Got it. And now with this very strong profitability delivered in fourth quarter and you ending the year with significantly moderated NPAs and buckets, how would this position influence your funding cost in the future? Because I already see your marginal cost of borrowing flattening out at 12.5. What kind of funding cost benefits, irrespective of the rate cycle, can we get from the current performance?
Yeah, Manoj. So if you really look at, you know, the some of the benefits have already translated even during the interest rate rise cycle. If you see for Spandana, the rates or the premium that we were paying has been coming down quarter after quarter. Now it has largely stabilized at 12.5. We still have a little way to go to bring down the credit cost, I mean the borrowing cost further. As the banks start playing out, the public sector primarily, you know, our costs are likely to, you know, start rationalizing further. You have seen the participation start in the last quarter, but it has to be, you know, a dominant kind of play out from the public sector, which will help us rationalize the cost further. I think in 2 quarters from now, you should see more more benefits, you know, accruing from this particular vector.
So if I may just add, we borrowed about 5,775 crores last year. What we were missing were the big public sector banks. Obviously, each one had their own position, which I presume now, you know, we are sufficiently engaged, or we were sufficiently engaged with them for the past 2 quarters. Once that line keeps coming in, you know, obviously it will open, you know, a new line, a new, I mean, it will be a completely new area for all of us. So that is what, and in my commentary, I have said that, you know, what we have to, or what we will be looking at, is to work on decreasing the cost one, but however, most importantly, ensure that, you know, we get an entry into all these public sector banks so that, you know, that is where our supply or our demand will kind of be addressed from the supply from their side. So, you know, that is one area which I think, as Ashish mentioned, 2 to 3 quarters, I think, you know, that should start flowing in.
Got it. And Ashish, with regards to provision on the ARC sale that you've done in Q3 and Q4, there is no pending provision, right? Whatever was required has been fully taken in respective quarters. There is nothing which will come and hit us in the future on that.
So let me explain the transaction, Manoj, to you. The way the transaction on the ARC happens is you first have to charge the portfolio on your balance sheet if it is being done from the GNPA. The last quarter when we did, in Q4 when we did the transaction, we had about 136 crores out of 372 coming out from GNPA, which was fully charged to the balance sheet. The balance was anyways from the write-off pool, so there was nothing more to be, you know, taken on the balance sheet as such. What happens is, yes, the sale consideration comes in and into the P&L as a positive. We do have 85% coming in as SR. The SRs will be evaluated based on the performance of the portfolio in future. If there is a decline, then probably we may have to look at provisioning at that time. Having said that, the performance has been very strong for the ARC that was done in Q3. And that's why if you see the percentage sale consideration that we have got in the transaction for Q4 has been higher than what we've got in Q3. So I think so far the experience on the valuations that we have got, we have been performing better than that. I think if this continues, there is no reason for us to, you know, relook at
taking any provisioning or anything on the SRs that are there on the balance sheet.
Got it, Ashish. This is Rajiv. Just two bookkeeping questions on the average duration of the portfolio.
We request you to please rejoin the queue if you have any further questions.
No issue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Bise from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good quarter and a swift turnaround. Just wanted to get a sense on the new borrower additions as well as the outstanding borrowers. Any sense on what is the exclusive to Spandana share or say one borrower, one lender or two lender kind of a mix there?
Yeah, so, thanks Sameer for the question. 36% is single lender relationship, which is Spandana. 36 plus 28 is 1 plus 1, so which is, let me do the maths. So 65% adds up to 1 plus 1, which is Spandana plus 1 more. If I add 1 plus 2, it comes to 85.8, and add another 1 plus 3, it is 93. So Spandana plus 3 is another 10%. I'll repeat the number, just so that, we don't end up confusing. Single lender relationship, Spandana only is 36%, 36.7 to be precise. Spandana plus 1 is 28.7% more, so cumulatively it is 65.3. Spandana plus 2 is 65.3 plus 20.4, so that's 85.8. Spandana plus 3 is another 10%. And then there is greater 3, some 4%. So if you go back to the earnings call, I think it was the first call or maybe the quarter four call or maybe the first quarter call. I had given an indication at that time we were at 33% single lender, 38 or 39 was the, 37 or 38. I had said that, single and 1 plus 1, we should be at about 80, we are at 65.3, another, 8 quarters to go, reasonably confident that we will be there.
Great, this is helpful. And secondly, on the newer products, would it be a bit prudent to kind of see how the existing book kind of shapes up and then really push the pedal on the newer one, or you think we are in quite a steady state in terms of the existing business and it is the right time to scale up? Just wanted some thoughts given that it remains quite a competitive space and currently probably industry is also in a benign credit environment. So would it be okay to kind of start a new line of products?
So Sameer, it's a, look, you cannot take the eyes off the ball at any given point in time, So should you press the, so what are the options available? Either you go and source new customers or you kind of, deep dive into your existing base. A combination is always advisable. Number one, I go back to the presentation, 29% of the loans in the quarter have gone to the 7 states that we had identified. So we are deep rural, so we don't operate in any of these urban areas. So the more deep you get, you will land up with a decent number of fresh new to credit. It will be a combination of either new to credit or a single lender relationship.
Single lender.
So we are happy with it, but at the same time, we'll keep monitoring like always. In the past, we have done many studies on this. Only Spandana or only Financer or a 1 plus 1 from a quality point of view is okay. There is a clear correlation between the, and it is inversely proportional, the quality is inversely proportional to the number of lenders, so you add more, it doesn't help, so you have to kind of ensure that you are in the range of the 1 plus 1, ideally 1, which is your one single lender, at best go to 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, grudgingly, yes. And try to kind of skirt away from the plus 3, plus 4. But we are operating in an imperfect market. So, we will continue to operate in the single plus 1 and at best plus 2. So we'll keep on calibrating. There is no straight answer to this that we will choose this or that. It is just that you have to keep on monitoring the geographies and the portfolio, the quality that gets delivered.
Great. This is helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So just one question, most of the questions have already been answered, but on the credit cost side, from a P&L perspective, when do we sort of target to reach this 2% annualized guidance?
Yeah, hi, Sarvesh. Good evening. And yes, the way we are looking at it is by end of this financial year, we should be in that range of, 2% kind of credit cost. Given that the new book has already been performing well and most of the, provisioning has been done for the flows that we have seen in the past or coming from the COVID period, I do believe that for the full year, we should be in that 2% kind of a risk.
So FY24, you would aim to be, let's say, 2% of whatever 10,000 odd crore average AUM or something around that?
That's right.
Okay. And this 70% PCR, is this it given how we view the portfolio and the macro, or do we want to further increase? Is there an aspirational number for PCR as well?
So this is a journey and you have to keep evaluating this at every stage. Presently, we feel very comfortable with 70%. But, we'll keep evaluating look at a higher number if need be. We have already moved to having a policy on a technical write-off, where we will be writing off loans which will be anywhere in 365 from the GNPA. So that has already been done. So we keep calibrating in terms of what is required from a prudence perspective. And as and when need be, we'll step up the numbers as well.
Understood. Your NIMs, how do you see that stabilizing at? Because you said 25 plus 1 we are giving for the new loans, and then you would see some reduction in your cost of funds also going forward, hopefully. So where can that, the NIMs and, or maybe the spreads, where can that stabilize?
So we have targeted a 13.5% kind of a NIM. We are already there. There may be a slight improvement from what we are targeting. But I think 13.5 will be something that one can take as a BAU or a stabilized kind of a NIM.
Thank you. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, you may please press star and 1 on your touchtone phones. The next question is from the line of Jignesh Shial from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for allowing me the opportunity and congrats for a very strong set of numbers. Just mostly the questions have been answered. I just wanted two things. One, Shalabhi already indicated that, there would be a more branch opening in the, it could be basically front loaded. So do you see that basically OPEX might see a spike probably in FY24? Or do you think the revenue should also flow in and things should be more or less normal and should tend to go downwards only?
So we will see a bit of a spike, but then it will normalize as we progress during the quarter and the year. This is a standard flow. A typical microfinance branch takes about 5 months to break even on its own and then about 11 years to kind of do a complete get into overall 11 healthy 11 months, sorry, 11 months to, come into a full black. So that's the reason why, Jignesh, we are trying to open the branches as early as possible so that we have a clear runway. So answer to your question is yes, we will see a bit of a uptick in the or a spike in the cost, but then it will normalize, you know, as we progress during the year.
Understood.
Addendum to what Shalab said. For the full year, it should more or less be flat.
Oh, understood. No, that's helpful. And secondly, you know, you're talking about, you know, starting with this lab business and then gradually into microenterprise loans. So any little bit more color on it? I mean, what kind of customers are you targeting, or what would be the average ticket size, yields on it? You know, some bit of a color on it would be really helpful, at least on lab side. If you give some idea about, you know, how you are planning to shape it up in the next at least 2 to 4 quarters, and then gradually how microenterprise loans will be gradually, you know, coming in. So any more color, which areas are you looking into it, ticket size and yield and all, or any more color on it? Thanks.
Yeah, sure. Jignesh, thanks for the question and thanks for the interest. I will start and then I'll hand over to Sushanta, who's the chief business officer looking after this business. As a company, we will continue our journey into the rural stroke, in the case of LAP, a level below the semi-urban geographies that we are talking about, you know. So that's what we will, penetrate. That's number one. Number two is we will always remain the bottom of the pyramid, even on ticket sizes. On the ticket size, not on the customer profile, because this is not a microfinance customer who's kind of being upsold a LAP or whatever. Yes, there'll be about 5-7%, but that's not the mainstay of the model. So what we will do is that our ticket size, our anticipation is, will be in the range of about 4 to 6 lakhs, and ideal is about 3 to 5 lakhs, you know. So that's number two. Number three is we've got a completely new system, Jignesh. We had an option to kind of, we already had, when we took over, we had a book of about 125 crores, but we allowed it to sort of, we did not walk into, we just were doing the collections. We did not restart the business because we wanted a new system. As we speak, the new system is live. We will now have, we have brand new LMS and LOS where we'll operate the nano enterprise and the lab business. So, so the geographies are rural. Number one, the ticket sizes will always be a 3 to 5 lakhs. That's our sweet spot. We'll kind of get into it. Number two, completely different set of people and the set of branches who want to look at it with a credit focused. This has nothing to do with JLG and hence completely separate. There is a market for this particular segment. I hand over to Sushanta, who is leading this business, to kind of
sure.
add.
Hi, this is Sushant this side. Happy to share that the LAP business we have relaunched during the quarter, and we have a decent book, 125 crore at the peak level, but now because of the lack of the dedicated software solution, we kind of were not dispersing for a long time. So now we have taken a new software solution, LOS, LMS integrated. It's a fully digital onboarding journey is there. So that is up and running. So we have started in one branch. Now we are entering into different states. For example, we are starting in Rajasthan as a state we have taken. And there we have already identified 10 branches and staff onboarding, all those things are going on. So this quarter, Q1, you'll be finding a lot of traction on this. And as Sarab sir mentioned, we are targeting little less ticket size, unlike the market practice of 7 to 10 lakh. We will be having in the range of 3 to 4 lakh kind of ticket size to start with. And gradually, once we have the good experience, we will progress toward that. And maybe next 2 quarters is very critical for us. As I mentioned, we have selected Rajasthan as a state. We'll go a little deep, understand the market, and enter into 3-4 new states that we have identified during the financial year. And typical our LTV will be like 40 to 55%. So we'll be very, very conservative in that. And it's a semi-urban, a little bit of rural pocket. And some of our existing microfinance customer may be eligible to that eligibility criteria, and we will upgrade them to that level. That's the journey.
So we are, Jignesh, we are testing waters. We'll be very cautious and conservative like other things, and we'll progress on this. We'll keep everyone updated on this.
Yeah, so it won't be kind of a cross, it's completely new set of customers that you're targeting as a new product, and probably same geography, so basically, it will be a completely different set of products that we can target. It won't be a cross-sell kind of way.
Yeah, so if it is the same geography, it will be coincidental, not as a part of design.
Understood. So this basically should be...
Sorry to interrupt. We request you to please rejoin the queue if you have any follow-up questions.
No problem. Thanks, Shalab. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Thanks, Jignesh.
All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of M.B. Mahesh from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Shalab, good evening. Just one question. If you could just kind of highlight which of the states are now dominating your disbursements for the quarter, and also as a portion of your overall loan book.
So the top three states are Madhya Pradesh, Orissa, and Andhra Pradesh. This is the current situation. However, when we came out with our Vision 25, we had identified 7 states, Mahesh, where we will focus, where we have a market share of less than 0.5%. 30% of the loans this quarter have gone into those 7 states, and as we progressively keep on moving ahead, end of this year, the total share of these 7 states will be about 22-23%. End of FY25, we should be in these 7 states about 40% of our AUM. You know, so that's how we are planning to scale up, so that one, we ease on the concentration norms at a state level and at a geography level. And two is obviously, you know, increase our market share in areas and regions which are, definitely good for the industry as well. So it's a calibrated approach. Over the next 8 quarters, you'll see the whole story panning out. The first quarter, which is the last quarter, was the start.
And in all these states, would you attribute that the competition levels have come back to pre-COVID levels, as you may have seen in the past?
Yeah, so you always have to, as I said, you know, the third time in the call I'm mentioning that, you know, this you have to keep on, you cannot afford to take the eyes off the ball. The competition levels for when you are at a 0.5, 0.6% kind of a market share, the first 1.5% will never, I'm not saying nothing is easy in the world, but then it's not, your challenge will be post 15,000, how do you kind of scale up? You know, so until now, until the 15,000 number that we are talking about, you know, I think with our experience and whatever, understanding of the market that we have, I think we should be good both on quality and quantity deliverables.
Okay. A second question is on your cost of funds. Would you say that the increase that you have seen in your cost of borrowings has been relatively sharper than what you've seen of some of the other NBFCs? Because we've not seen such a high jump of about 160 basis points in about 4 quarters in some of the other names, or are we missing something here?
So if you look at marginal cost, yes, maybe we'll be higher by 25 to 50 basis points due to various reasons. One, two, I think this is something that we've been, talking about, Mahesh, that our sources of borrowings is very dominant on the capital market side, which is relatively an expensive source of borrowing. As the participation from the, public sector banks kind of step up, this should start getting rationalized, and the higher cost that you see should now then be in line with the market. I mean, the benchmarks or the comparisons that you are doing, they will have a very high dominance of the public sector banks or private sector banks in terms of their funding mix, and that kind of drives the lower cost. It should start playing out for us as well in this financial year. Mahesh, you there?
Mahesh, we can't hear you.
I'm done with my question. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir. Good set of numbers. Just one, most of my questions are answered. Just one question from my side would be, what is the stabilized ROA are we looking at for probably FY24-25? Since you have guided for AUM for FY24 and FY25, I mean, it's your internal estimate, if you could.
Yeah, so we've talked about the BAU ROA for in the past, Vignesh, and I think we're sticking to that. 4.5% should be the BAU ROA for us, and we are very positive that by the last quarter for sure it should start stabilizing at the 4.5% ROA.
Okay, right. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much to all of you for, listening to us. We laid out a plan about 4 quarters back. We will stick to the plan. It was a 3-year plan, of which we are 1/3 down, which is 1 year out of 3 years gone. Overall, I think we are in line from an execution point of view. We are in line. Thanks to all of you. And I mean, there are two word of thanks that I would want to mention. One is the entire, all our shareholders and all the stakeholders, which is our lenders, etc. One. And two is our team, both at the head office and the branches, which has kind of pulled up and really delivered what one would have wanted to, probably a quarter ahead, is what I would say. Finally, I would want to thank all of you who are on the call. We get gems of advice from all of you in a very, very innocent and innocuous manner. Please keep on giving us those piece of advices, because we are here to learn. For every step that we take, we'll reach out to you in case we need, and otherwise, happy to kind of engage with any of you who would want to have a chat with us. Thank you very much for joining the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Spandana Sfoorthi Financial Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.